Yes, I'd like to say hello and welcome again to the third session of our international course of lecture here in Essen again. Hello to everybody who is listening here in the room, as well as hello to all the students and people outside in the online stream. Yes, Regina, what is the topic of our session today?
Today we have Henning Saling Olesen from the University of Roskilde in Denmark, and he will talk about the recent trends in adult and continuing education in Denmark.
Oh yes, it's interesting, as we already had two representatives here which came from the south, or more southly. We had in the first session, a representative from Europe in Brussels, and 2 weeks ago we had Esther Oliveira from Spain.
Yes, we will have today a Scandinavian view from a more Nordic country, and from a country which is also smaller than Spain. And yes, I am very excited what will be the trends in Denmark.
Yes, we will see if there are any differences between the South country and the Scandinavian one. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can say hello to Henning Saling Olsen. And
yes,
welcome,
just say
here.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, and thank you for the invitation.
Yes, we're very happy to have you here today. Thank you for coming from Roskilde in Denmark, here to our university in Essen. And we are very excited to hear from you about trends in education in Denmark. But our students here, they do not know very much about you and who is talking here today. Maybe it would be very kind of you if you could give a few words about your person so that they know who is lecturing today.
Well, you can see my gray hair and beard, so you know the age approximately and some of my background experience. I am a researcher in Graduate School of Lifelong Learning in Roskilde University, which is a new university, I think, like Essen in Denmark, which has been very strongly engaged in societal and social matters. So I came into adult education research because there were a lot of issues which seemed important and interesting. And I've been working with trade unions, social movements about the needs of adult education. And yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, so we had already a little insight into your main emphasis on research and work. Maybe you will say also a few words more about that, and also about your main emphasis on teaching in Roskilde.
Yeah, the university is maybe one of the most radical universities in Europe in terms of teaching methods, totally based on project work. Students make projects as a basic work format. Otherwise, it's just a multi-faculty university with science and social science and humanity studies. And I'm working in the what would in German be Bildungswissenschaft, educational studies is my field. And I work especially with learning in relation to work and learning at workplaces, and what does learning mean for people. I especially worked with a life history approach, trying to study what does learning and education mean in the lives of individuals and groups, and this is, of course, or maybe it's not of course, but it is closely related to people's relation to work. What is the position of work in their lives?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and Regina, we also know that you are a president from ESREA. which is a European research of the education of adults. Mm-hmm. And this is also a very interesting position you have. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a few words about this this research?
Yeah, the ESREA is a network of researchers in adult education, and it is only I think 20 years, less than 20 years old, because adult education and continuing education as a research field is relatively new, growing up. So this European network has been formed by those people who engaged in research within this specific field, and tried to, at the same time, to keep their engagement in the sector with the practices of adult education and continuing education, and also to find out what is adult education research. Is it just a sub-branch of pedagogy, or is it something else? And if it's something else, what is it then? I think we tend to think that it is a very complex topic, which is related to lots of areas of social life, and in this sense not a very narrowly defined discipline. But we have a paradoxical situation that at the same time as in Europe the interest into adult and continuing education is increasing enormously. Lifelong learning is a political program of the European Union. Then at the same time we see in many cases in several countries that research units are closing down or are being merged and becoming almost invisible. So the situation for adult education as a field, as an area of study and an area of research is not particularly good. So I think this work with ESREA is very important. We try now to focus much more on doctoral education and the education of young researchers, because this field cannot develop with a few gray-haired people who started early on, but it must have new people coming in, and so it's very important to work with the basic recruiting and education of researchers.
So you have taught us already a little bit about the development in mm-hmm. research in mm-hmm. adult education in Europe. Maybe do you think it will be also, if you look from a geographical point of view, that in ESREA there are many representatives from northern countries? Mm-hmm. Do you also think the people from southern countries can be more integrated there?
Oh yes, I really hope so, and I would say already now there is an increasing interest and activity, especially in Spain and Portugal, more than other southern countries, I would say. But I think the situation is to some extent reflecting the institutional history. Where have there been strong social movements dealing with adult education? Where have there been institutions forming professional groups of people dealing with adult education? And it has been much more in the north of Europe and in the Scandinavian countries than in the south. In the south, adult education has typically been civil society movements closely related to oppressed people, poor people, and it doesn't professionalize in the same way as easily. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a kind of reflection of European social history, which is in the membership of such a professional organization.
Yes, yes. You already spoke about a difference between the north and the south. In between Europe, but you also do a comparative study with a country far out from Europe, which is Colombia.
Yeah.
You do a comparative study between Colombia and Denmark. Why have you chosen Colombia? Can you tell a little bit about the differences between adult education there?
I would say I chose China because I think China is in immensely interesting. But the World Bank chose Colombia because they had a project of developing the Latin American countries. And in the beginning, I think they hired me because they wanted to transfer some good experiences from a well-developed adult education system in a Nordic country to be taken over by Latin American countries to some extent. I found it interesting because it was clear that you, by comparing or considering this transfer, first you learn a lot about your own reality. But second, you also get some interesting questions about to which extent you can transfer institutional solutions. I actually wrote a kind of small history of I don't know if it's possible to get it on the camera, but a small history of the Danish adult and continuing education system developing, which is focusing on the way in which adult education has grown with modernization, with political history, with the labor movement, and so on. And going from this to say, how is it in Colombia with, for example, labor movement? Well, they get killed. So it obviously forms a different background of doing adult education. Where is the vocational training in the coffee industry? Because the coffee industry is needs good labor and is willing. So you learn a lot about the conditions of developing of adult and continuing education by doing a comparison between Denmark and Colombia.
Yes.
And the World Bank paid for it.
Okay. Yes, and so from this point of view, what would you say is the typical of the Danish adult education?
Yeah, well, of course, I've been thinking about that going here. I think everybody knows that there was an adult educator called Grundtvig, who was a Danish from the not the last century, but the century before. Who was ideological founding father of the peasants' folk education ideas. I think there is a strong tradition of liberal adult education which goes back to this. But then on the other side, I would say that adult education in Denmark has become quite institutional in the post-Second World War period. It has become state policy to develop provision of both liberal and vocational education and training. I would say that when I receive a visitor now who wants to hear about this adult education tradition, then I tell that the best which has happened to adult education in Denmark in the last 20 or 25 years, that is a strong intervention in labor market, because a lot of new developments of adult education has come out of, well, as you know, most of you also, a period of economic crisis and high unemployment rates, where labor market authorities and trade unions made a shared effort to develop new solutions, and paradoxically taking a lot of inspiration from the liberal adult education tradition into this work-related training and education. So I think that's on a high level of abstraction, the common denominator.
Yes, so I think that would be a good point to start a presentation and ask you for your presentation.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So okay. We are excited. Thank you.
Yeah.